Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for just the moments we will have here together with each other and, Father, with you. I pray, Father, that in this time, everything that is said and done will be glorifying to you. Father, that we will honor you. And, Lord, I know that already you have orchestrated this morning to be exactly what it's supposed to be, exactly the way you want it. And so, Father, I pray that we listen to your Spirit. God, that we go with what he puts in us, the words and everything, Father, that we do, God, we want to glorify you. So as we proceed in this morning, God, though it may be a little different, God, I pray that ultimately you will be seen, you will be heard, and your presence will be felt. And God, we'll leave this place, and we will worship you, honor you, and obey you through the coming week. Thank you, Father, for this time. May you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man, I'm so glad you're here today. And last week, I'll just give you a little recap because some of you were not here. And shame on you. I'm just kidding. But anyway, glad that you came. Glad that you're a part of today. Today, I think, will be a little bit of difference here. One thing I do want to do is, like I say, recap a little bit. So what we talked about last week, by the way, if you were here last week, raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass the people that weren't here. Okay, so, okay, cool. With everybody else, just let me give you a brief little insight of what we did. Last week, we had a message, and it came about as from the likes of an article that I had read by Matt Walsh, and it was talking about, you know, what television does to us, and we all watch way too much TV. Would everybody agree with that? We watch way too much TV. No teenagers raised their hands on that, and I understand. But still, I believe we do. And I think he had made a comment. The one thing that kind of sparked the controversy is, if I can remember it correctly, you know, kind of like he took a stab at we watch too much television, and there were Christians, there were followers that got angry about that statement. In other words, he kind of called us out. And we got a little angry, or people that say they're Christ followers got a little angry because he took a little bit of a stab at what we do that we know is not honoring to God. I think one of his statements was something to the effect, if it doesn't glorify God, if it isn't honoring to God, if it doesn't get you closer to God, that's it. If it doesn't draw you closer to God, then why do it? Why participate in it? Why look at it? Why watch it? Why listen to it? If it doesn't draw you closer to God. And it was amazing that some Christians, some people, some responses, some of them was just like, wow, are you serious? They defended their TV watching. And that was just kind of weird to me because I'm like, okay, so if you read your Bible at all, Jesus said, I'm to be number one in your life. We hear that in church all the time, right? Sad thing is we hear it in church and we kind of leave it at church. You know, I'll pick my number one back up when I come next week, but I got other things going on in my life, which is totally ludicrous to think that we, you know, can kind of view God that way. If Jesus is our number one, if we're following him, then we should follow him. He should be our number one. He should be the one we're spending the most time with, the most time with. And so as I got to thinking, you know, last week we talked about, you know, how much TV we watch and things, what shows, some of the shows Matt took a stab at, which I thought was pretty cool. It's always, I love to see people squirm when you say that, you know, that show was just horrible. And they're like, you know, they're watching it, you know, and I can't say anything. You know, I watch shows that's not healthy. And I'm sure that every one of you probably have watched, are watching, will watch or continue to watch something that's not going to honor God. And that's just kind of sad. I would love to see a body of believers who, and by the way, we didn't leave last week and say that we were going to have a TV burning and that all television programs, we didn't say that. And you know, that's what I'm not talking about that. You know, but if it's not honoring to God, I just want you to think about what you're feeding your mind, because I believe what you feed your mind will feed your heart. And eventually, you will live in such a way without even knowing it, you'll begin to live in such a way that's just not honoring to God at all. One thing I paid attention to this week in mine, and I'll get mine out of the way because I know we got about, 40 or 50 people that's going to jump up here in just a few minutes and share what God did with them this week. But one of the things I noticed in my time this week is how habitual I was in doing some things that I didn't even pay attention to before. You know, you come in, you turn the remote on. First thing, you come in, the first thing you want to do is turn TV on and hear the TV. That's kind of one of the things I do. Or you come in and I'll pick up Cindy. The biggest mistake my wife ever made giving me a gift is she gave me an iPad. You know, it's just like a little mini. Y'all know what an iPad is, probably. So anyway, she gave it to me, and I can operate it. And so I'm sitting there, and I can look at it, and I find myself doing things. TractorHouse.com, who's an addict to that? Nobody. Me and Alan would be the only one, okay? TractorHouse.com, you know, you can go in there and you can see combines and you lick the screen and it's just so awesome. But before you know it, you can spend hours. And now, there's nothing wrong with a combine. In fact, that harvests food for us to eat. But before you know it, you're spending more time on TractorHouse.com. And really, that's not going to make a difference in eternity. Let's be honest. God's not going to question me how to repair a 4400 John Deere combine. He's not. He's just not going to ask me those questions, though I could ace that test. But he's not going to be asking me those questions. So I found some stuff that I had to literally think hard about. No, lay that down. And my week wasn't perfect. You know, I just kept catching myself saying, no, put that down. I did, however, probably read, and this is a shame to say, because I read Scripture a lot, but I found myself reading more Scripture this week and talking to God more than I have in probably forever. And that was beneficial for me, extremely beneficial. One, it did draw me closer to Him. I don't know. I seem more plugged in to God in the way He thinks. That makes sense? You just seem to be more connected with Him. And that was just an awesome place. Not that I hadn't really felt often connected, but it kind of, you know, strengthened the cord between God and myself, and that was pretty awesome. So what we want to do this morning is I want to hear some of y'all stories. Now, before we do this, you ain't going to get up here and preach, okay? That's my job. But I do want to hear some testimony, and we'll give you a few minutes, you know, of maybe what God did through your week. The challenge is to go home and add up all the unnecessary stuff it takes to do that unnecessary stuff and devote that time to God. That was the challenge for last week. Devote that time to God. So I had probably 6-7 hours of unnecessary stuff in my life. Devote 6 hours of studying God's Word and praying to Him. That I think, is a better way to spend our time. In fact, I know it is. And so what I want to do this morning, hopefully you did those things or you took the challenge. So if you took the challenge, message prepared, okay? No, come on, we got to get you on record. No, we want to record you. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, but people need to hear your testimony. You shout out their sister.
Well, I failed the challenge bad. But I want to say I'm not addicted to TV, but I'm very addicted to my cell phone. And I will sit on the couch and I will play my cell phone games or whatever all night. That's my thing. That's the way I digress. That's the way I just like chill out, whatever the case may be. However, I do want to say that every time I picked up the cell phone, I was conscious about... However, I feel like it's made me more aware of what I do that I shouldn't do, and hopefully in the next coming weeks that I can apply myself better to be in the Word more.
Awesome. And see, I pray for your phone to get really hot in your hand and burn a blister there. So, but you were conscious. You were conscious of it, that's a start. That's a beginning. So praise God for that. Next. We got a whole hour.
I also am not addicted to TV, so I didn't. I altered your challenge.
Okay.
Because I watch maybe 30 minutes of TV all week, and that's not unusual for me. But I did like a two-part challenge. Normally, throughout the day, when I'm working or doing stuff around the house, I will listen to either podcasts or an audiobook, and then on my lunch break I will read. So I replaced that with listening to either podcasts that were God-focused, and then listening, during my lunch break I would read the Bible and study the Bible. And that was, I learned a lot from that. It was really interesting. I discovered some really cool new podcasts. And then the second part of the challenge was I deleted Facebook and Instagram from my phone. If you have a smartphone and you want to know how much time you spend on social media, delete those apps from your phone and see how many times a day you reach for your phone to do that. That was very eye-opening for me. Anytime I was bored for more than 5 seconds or standing in line or sitting at a traffic light that was really long, I was reaching for my phone automatically without even thinking about it. And I realized that the amount of time I could spend sitting during my lunch break or whatever, scrolling through mindless junk on social media, was really contributing to my anxiety. And those were moments when I really, if I have 5 seconds when my brain starts to get that time talking to God instead of scrolling through what everybody else is doing on social media, was really, really awesome.
Wow. And she has stress loss. She's married to Josh. That's awesome, Casey. Thank you so much. Wow. I'm going to have to need help with Facebook, because sometimes I get on and I stay on it for a few minutes, hours, and sometimes I don't. It's just depending on, you know, what I'm doing, and anyway. So, yeah, the cell phone's a big, big deal, but thank you so much. Sounds like, and to talk about, you know, anxiety, it kind of lowered all that. That's awesome. See, that's the benefit of just spending time with God. So, awesome. Anybody else? Isn't it cool that God just changes those things like that in your life, and they're always been there. We just need to do it. Oh, you can't have the mark. Oh, well, I'll tell you when to stop.
Well, I too am one of those that picks up the phone just in those mindless moments, and there seem to be many of them. But I do have a regular time of studying Scripture in the morning. And a lot of times it's been just sort of flip through it real quick so I can pick up the phone. But I tried not to do that this week, and I found that I was hearing God more. I was able to listen for him. And one of the things that I heard was that all my regretful actions are results of not allowing him to be part of the decision, not seeking his counsel, ignoring the wisdom that I find in his word. I have never regretted a decision that I made after listening to him and praying about what I was to do. So I was finding myself listening for God more through the week.
Awesome. Thank you, Miss Cindy. Yeah, you pay closer attention to him, and you expect to hear from him. That was one of the things that I wanted to, you know, make sure I throw it out there today in case if someone else didn't. But you expect to hear from God, and God is there. He's wanting to communicate. He's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to tell you what needs to be done, what needs to happen, what needs to change, and all that. We just need to listen for it. And I like the part where you said you just kind of flip through Scripture. I've had that, because God gives you a grade on whether how much Scripture you read or how much Bible you read during the week, right? And if you read two chapters a day, you get like, well, that's a lie. You don't get points. The benefit of reading Scripture and loving God is to be closer to him. And you just, that's what happens. So, all right, who's next? There you go, Wes, just come on through, man.
Well, I feel like I fall in Sandra's category. And that's one of the things I don't do. I find myself, I just read, go through it, and don't question things. But I'm trying to do a little bit more of that. So that was helpful to me.
Cool. Awesome. So it made a difference. You had a different kind of week, we can say. Awesome. That's cool. All right. Next. Money? I didn't get to say goodbye.
It's great, because sometimes I get lost in it and I don't want to stop. But then I have to do laundry and, you know, all those wifely things, you know. But normally what I do when I get up is I eat breakfast, And when I'm eating breakfast, I watch the Today Show. Well, because of your challenge, I was like, okay. I would get up, have a cup of coffee on the deck with my little dog, pray, and just sort of, you know, feel God around me in nature because I really love doing that. And then I'd go for a walk because we walk every day, me and my little dog, and not watch the Today Show and then come back and have my quiet time. And I noticed how the rest of the day I was more calm and I was more tuned in to what, like you said, what God was saying to me. I love to read, so I don't watch a lot of TV. My husband has a tendency to come in the door and turn it on. And then he goes out of the room. And I'm like, why did you turn it on and you're not in here? So then I come in and turn it off. But anyway, I just sort of, I enjoy reading. And I try to choose things that I feel like are not so ungodly, that a lot of Ted Decker type things. I like science fiction and kind of things like that. But he does a lot of Christian science fiction type stuff, which makes you think really deep stuff. But anyway, but it was a good challenge for me because I do like to watch things that have to do with espionage and stuff like that. My dad was the head of the ATF, so it kind of runs in my family. But I have to be careful with that because a lot of times there's a lot of violence and stuff in that stuff. So anyway, so God's working on my heart about that. But it really does make a difference. The more time you spend with him, the more you feel him the rest of the day and the more you can listen to what he says.
Mm. It's about paying attention to him. Right. You're not with the KGB, are you?
No.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so it makes you pay closer attention to God. And when you're paying closer attention to God, your focus is on God, you're going to tend to follow him. You know, you hear what he says. It's like, you know, God would kind of, you ever grabbed a kid's face and said, I need your full attention. I just need you to look at me, watch me right now, pay attention to me. Sometimes I think God grabs her face and say, I need to say something to you. Just pay attention. Sometimes he wants to squish her jaws. But anyway, I think. Anybody else? You're not going to preach. Just get it up.
I would actually just have issues also with my phone. Like, in the morning I would just wake up and go on Facebook or whatever. And I would also just like to watch YouTube. And I had to transition from watching stuff to worshiping God towards the stuff like different people on YouTube who talks about God. And that has encouraged me a lot to more of read my Bibles in the mornings. Like I would skip it at 9 usually, but then I start setting my clock for 8 o'clock to get up and read the Bible. And then, like, I saw a thing on YouTube where one of the people created a prayer journal, so I started doing that, and that has helped out a lot with my prayer life, too.
Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. There again, I keep hearing a theme here, you know, spending more time with God. It affects you. I mean, it impacts you. And so that was kind of the whole reason for a challenge, is to spend more time with God. So who's next? See, oh, awesome. Okay. While Steve's coming, you want to do this because this might be your one and only chance to say something. Okay. I'm just kidding. Steve, how are you?
Good. My wife's probably wondering what I'm doing because she's probably thinking we didn't have
time
to do
that. Now, you can't talk about Rebecca and her problems. You
no,
have to.
I'm just trying to blame it on her.
I'm just messing with you.
It's all her fault. No, I talked to her earlier about let's do the homework when we heard you talk last week. And so we're thinking, okay, we do watch too much TV, and we were thinking, okay, we need to substitute some prayer time. Well, unfortunately, we're in one of those months where everything hit. You know, you have some months where it's all smooth. You have other months where it seems like everything's blowing up. We've had car issues on multiple vehicles, teenager issues. I've got extra stuff I got to do at work. She's got a little goat farm we're trying to manage. And so, but it's been one of those times where I feel like everything's hitting. And what I realized was sometimes, even though it may not be TV, but I think the devil's alive and well, and he knows if he can hit us with all kinds of stuff, and we're trying to deal with all that stuff all the time, it's less time to really think about God. And there's been a lot of times where we went through some tough times, and when I got through it, and I have time to pray, I'm realizing, man, I went through all this stuff, and I didn't even think about God for a moment because I was so busy worrying about how to deal with all this. So my point is, one thing we've started doing, it wasn't the exact homework, but it kind of ended up to something similar, is we've refused to let all these busy things that hit us, you know, problems and all that, just totally distract us from God. One thing we've just started doing, just out of the blue, was saying, okay, we're going to stop wherever we're at right now and just say a quick prayer. And we've both been doing that. Sometimes I'm forgetting God, and she'll suddenly jump up and say, hey, let's pray about this. And then other times we're both forgetting, and I'll jump up and bring it up. But that's really helped. If you're finding yourself distracted, I would suggest think about that, because I've always pictured it's got to be a calm time at the dinner table or something like that, and I'm sitting down, okay, let's pray. But sometimes we don't have those moments. There's so much stuff. We're rushing, like we've had lately. She went to Virginia, car broke down. We're trying to sell it over here, trying to get another one. We're having to go to Atlanta for something else. We just got back last night. We found a truck in Atlanta. Now we put a deposit on it. Now we got to figure out how to get that truck back over here. And I can tell you a whole list of other stuff happening. But what we've been doing is, like, a couple of times we're heading over to take care of something, and I'll just say, dear Lord, as I'm driving down the road, she hears me and she knows, okay, he feels like saying a prayer right now. And we'll just talk to God right there as we're driving over to do something. Also, there was a time yesterday. We were with my son. We're kind of in a public place, other people around. We have very little time. We're heading somewhere else. She just said, let's pray about stuff. And we just stopped right there in a little circle, the three of us, and just talked to God about what was going on around us. And so anyway, that's something we've started just doing. It just sort of popped up as an idea. And so it's not exactly the homework assignment, but it's something that's worked for us lately. So that's just something that's really been effective. Is so when the devil's hitting us with all kinds of stuff now, we're kind of pausing and remembering God and talking to him about it. And I've noticed a few times that stuff that usually got me really agitated, I feel unusually calm. You know, you talk about the peace that passes understanding. I think that's what it's talking about, is stuff's blowing up. And I'm not all that worried about it, because I think because we're talking to God through the process, I sort of feel like, well, he's going to work it out. So it's been kind of cool.
That's awesome. Thank you. And, you know, God did say that he would take care of us, you know. And so you got to trust that thing. I will say this, talking about, I'm disappointed you didn't do homework assignment. I'm just kidding. I will say this, though. You're watching TV and stuff, and Casey, this is a good point you made a while ago about things we take like that. See, we kind of, whether you believe this or not, at least for it's true for me, we kind of deal with issues, problems, and all that by what we're taking in, what we're watching. So, yeah, you got a TV program. This may sound kind of silly to you, and y'all may be smarter than this, but it crossed my mind. But if we're just being fed by that, fed by the world, fed by television, fed by whatever, we're going to kind of respond in the way that they would respond. We're learning from that, whether we want to believe that or not. But if we're spending, if we're spending time with God, and we're watching God and watching, I challenged the youth this morning, so I got to talk with the parents of the youth to make sure they actually do it. But I challenged the youth this morning to start reading the four Gospels. And I said, and I want you to pay close attention to how Jesus lived life. Just how Jesus dealt with people, how he interacted with crowds, how he did life. Pay attention to that. And so when we pay attention to those things and read those things and take those things in, then we will begin to respond in the same way that he did and be obedient to that. All right, anyone else? You got to watch Jeremy. He will preach. Amen. There you go.
I guess what this challenge kind of did for me this week is it made me conscious of a lot of things that maybe I wasn't conscious of before, about the way, you know, that I spend my time. And it I mean, one of the things first is sitting down and looking at unnecessary, you know, things that I do. And it's kind of, then you got to really kind of take a step back and look at what is unnecessary and what is, you know, what is necessary. And, you know, so it kind of made me think about that and think in those terms. There was a time, you know, on Sunday, left here, you know, I was gung-ho about it. I was, you know, I have, at my house, we've been unplugged for a while now. We've got a TV and we've got a DVD player, but we don't have satellite. We've got really spotty internet, and so it's you know, kind of leaving here thinking maybe I've got a leg up on a lot of other people, but I mean, actually, it's not true. I waste just as much, if not more, time doing other things. You know, my phone is a big one, and just well, Monday, spent some time. I was off work all week this week. I had jury duty all week in Saluda County, and so I had an excuse to not work. And but I spent a lot of time doing stuff around the house that needed to be done. And on Monday, you know, I'd gotten home about 11 o'clock and worked out in the yard and just kind of got to talking with the Leslie, and you know, we wanted to go and go swimming over at her mom's house and take the kids. And so my first thought is, well, is that unnecessary time? Is that time that I should be you know, spending doing something else? And but, you know, I think God pretty much immediately answered me that it's no, that's, it's a necessary thing for us to take time with our families. And so, you know, just thinking along those lines, I got to a point where it was, God's been speaking to me a lot about balance. We have to find balance in our lives. And the man that wrote the article, he went, you know, he said, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with entertainment, with wanting to be entertained. He made the point of the types of ways that we, you know, choose to entertain ourselves might not be the best way. Some of the things that we choose to take in as entertainment. But I think that you've got to find a balance there. And I think it's real easy to go, it's definitely easy to go overboard in the negative direction. But, you know, there's ways, like we talked about it in our home group Thursday night. If I were to just go and shut myself in a room and open God's word and just read the Bible and pray all day long, every day, all week, every week, I'm not doing what God has asked me to do. There, God calls for us to have balance in our lives. And so looking at it like that, I have to find my time with my family. I have to work to provide for them. I have to be in the word. I have to be in prayer. I have to be listening to God. I got to find time for that. And also at the same time, everybody, every one of us needs time where we can just kind of sit back and give our bodies and our minds a rest. And we need that. God made us that way. So, you know, just again, what the guy said who wrote the article is just be careful how you choose to do that. Because what you are taking in, it's not just like he kept saying, there's no, it's not morally neutral. There's no such thing as moral neutrality. Everything that we do, everything that we see is for good or evil in one way or another. And but the other thing that I realized was, like I said, I left here Sunday and I was really just gung-ho about it. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was reading the word, I was praying, I was being very conscious of how I spent my time. But towards the end of the week, you know, you kind of slow down a little bit, you know, you lose momentum, or I did anyway. But what that made me think about was, you know, I left here gung-ho about it because I came here Sunday, just like we're here right now, and I was encouraged by my brothers. I was encouraged by the word, by Danny. I was it just lifted up by it, you know. And so that just got me thinking, and this is maybe has nothing to do with the challenge or what, but how important it is for us to come together the way that we are right now to make time for that. Because that's what church to me is one of the main things that it's for. God gave us each other and gave us these times so that we could come together, encourage each other, teach each other and keep each other going. It's where we come and get our spiritual batteries recharged so that we can go out and do what God has asked us to do in His Word. So, anyway, I, like I said, just made me a lot more conscious of how I spend my time and of the ways that my time is spent that are beneficial to me for God's work. You know, so.
Awesome. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. And going swimming with your kids, that's a plus. That's a God thing there. So, awesome. Well, cool. And it is. It, guys, you know, like we said last week, this isn't one of those big Baptist-bellied preachers saying, burn your TVs and burn all, you know. That's not what we were saying at all. But it is a balance. And just be conscious of what you're taking in. Ask the question each time. I mean, ask the question, is this beneficial? Is this going to draw me closer to God? That was the question the guy asked. Is this going to bring me closer to God? So that's we got enough time for one or two more. Wow, we must be reached the end. Any shy people? Now it's time for you introverts to excel. We're giving you an opportunity. This is it.
I don't like microphones to start with, and not much for standing in front of people talking. But
and look at you doing both.
Yeah. Kind of like my brother here, I reckon. I do, as far as a challenge, I do watch some TV. Don't feel like it's a whole lot. But I'm Mr. Fix-It. I want everything done. I want everything done right. I struggle with the way my boys, they tell me all the time, I work all the time. And I do. I work a lot. Not at work, but keeping things up, and sometimes that's a curse in your life, being able to do a lot of things. But it's also a blessing being able to help people in times of need, and so we just have to, with me, I struggle with giving God the time that I need. It's not just TV, it's not just telephones, it's everything we do. And I allow work to be too much of my life. And I said I wasn't going to get up here today and get emotional, but when God tugs at your heart, and God's showing us what we need to do. You know, we've had some struggles in our family. And God has, I've tried to fix it. But I can't. I can't fix it at all. And I catch myself, you know, me and my wife are constantly turning to God, and I do spend time with Him each and every day, and I have a lot of travel time, and that's a blessing. It allows me to spend some special time with God. A lot of folks say, how do you drive 1 hour and 20 minutes to work every day? But I've learned to spend a lot of time just talking to God and listening to God's Word on the radio. And but, you know, the challenge this week was to look at areas in our life where we just waste time. And first thing we have to do is determine what we're doing to waste time. Well, TB, I can sit down sometime and just kick it out of gear and, you know, just, I call it dummy up. Just, you know, you don't have to think anything about what's going on. And but I want to encourage you. I'm sure there's some men and women struggling with the same things I struggle with, whether it's work or TV or computer or whatever it may be. But, you know, I can't fix my children when they have problems. I can't fix my friends when they have problems. I can't fix me. I was talking to one of my boys this morning about just, it's fun, you got struggles in your life, and there's only one way to fix it, and that's to give it over to God. So I'm going to encourage all the young people and each and every one of us that as we go through this life and we struggle with things, and we're all struggling. You may be right now at a high time in your life where everything's going your way, but I'm telling you, it's coming. So, without rambling on, just give it to God. Give it to God. He'll show you what he'll have you to do. He'll give you the time. We all have 24 hours a day, whether we waste it or we use it for his glory. But I encourage you to encourage each other. We need it. We can come to church here in the mornings and see each other and shake hands and tell each other we're glad to see each other. But, you know, we're all, a lot of times we've got a lot going on in our lives that we don't even know about. People have a lot going on in their lives. So I do thank you, brother, for being an encouragement to me, and I thank this church for being an encouragement. And so my challenge to myself is that I'm going to try to cut out a lot of the work or do it in moderation and try to spend time with my boys and my family and most of all, God.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. I can relate to the work part. In fact, me and Alan are like two peas in a pod. We were both raised on farms. And one thing you learn on a farm, especially back in the day, is your identity is kind of determined how much you work. And we're both workaholics. In fact, it's kind of a sickness with us, I think, as how we come up is because if we're not working, we don't feel like we have any value or we don't feel useful. And so it's hard for us to sit down or to take a break. And I remember my boys having birthdays. I would be in the middle of, usually in September, of harvesting corn. I would come in for a brief hour, and I was back to the cornfield while the family celebrated my boy's birthday. And things like that happened. Now, it stinks. I can't go back and regain or recapture any of that. But you're right. I think giving it over to God, and I'm just now learning how to actually sit down, and I haven't perfected this yet, but sit down and just take a load off and just be okay with not doing anything physical. So I understand what my brother's saying. All right, one last one, and have we hit the end of the bowl? One more. I'll pay you. I'm just kidding. Anyone? All right. Well, here's what hit me as I was sitting there listening to you guys. One thing, I was going to challenge you with some scripture and stuff, but maybe that'll hold off till next week. Biggest thing is I would say this. I challenge you once again to spend time with God. In my life, I've looked at it kind of like, you know, when God said, I think it is in Exodus, that I'll have you should have no other gods before me. And I got into the thing of like, how much do I actually have as God? I actually worship like work. It was what I spent my most time with. It's what I, you know, brought me value and all that. But, when God's word talks about not having any God, any other gods before us, we need to put him first. And Jeremy and all you guys gave great examples this week of and I heard something consistent in them that the more time we spend with God, like the more clearly I see, the better my life functions. Let's agree once more, just to agree that there's things in life that we don't need to be taken in. It really is that we could give up. We need to do away with, because it's not drawing us any closer to God. And Facebook, I think you said you just, God bless you. That would be awesome if we all came in next week and said, we're done with Facebook, except for Immersed Church. We need to keep Immersed Church on Facebook. But seriously, we're all done with Facebook. You know, because think about how much time it consumes. And I know that's hard to do. I was going to challenge this week for everybody to put their phones in a bucket, and we would just keep them this week. No, you know, I'm not doing that. Because we live off them. Think about that. But what God brought to my mind as Alan was up here speaking, we've always talked about this. We are a family. And we want to love each other and care about each other and help each other and spend time with each other. Alan, that's one of the biggest things that I'll say as a pastor that gripes me the most. I can't fix anything. And that bothers me that I can't, like, okay, well, here's a list. You do these and you're fixed. It's been a struggle in mine and Cindy's marriage. I can't fix her. Don't go out here and say she's broken, okay? But I can't fix her. And though there's times I just want to look at her and say, stop and do this. Be fixed, you know? And that be the end of it. But I can't fix her. But here's what family can do. We can, one, love each other. And secondly, we can pray for each other. And I know sometimes when I tell you guys and I'm talking to you and I say, we'll be praying, every time I say that, it's like, I've told them that 500 times and it seems so little. You know, God, I want to do something else. And God reminds me to be obedient to Him and the things that we can do. And the one thing we can do is pray for each other. The other thing we can do is be there for each other. Sometimes you just need to sit and listen to a brother or sister. Just let them unload and just listen. Just listen. So here's what I want to do this morning. I know this is weird and freaky, and if you're new here, I'm sorry. It won't hurt you, I promise. Nobody here bites. But Rebecca and Steve, I know y'all have had a lot in y'all's life. Alan and Teresa, y'all have had a lot in y'all's life. Anybody else here, and you ain't got to name your struggle, just having a struggle going on in your life. I mean, it's just wide open. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I'm going to slide some chairs up here. I believe in prayer, by the way. I believe God fixes things and can fix things, and He can help us understand. So if you guys are willing, you don't have to, but we would love to come so we could gather around you as a church and just pray for you and pray with you. And I think there's something that God honors about us being in agreement, that He knows what's going on, that He knows what it needs and how it needs to be handled and all that, but us being obedient to Him and praying for each other. So these are our brothers and sisters. So if y'all will, is this your Bible, Miss Bobby? I didn't want to. Would y'all just come up for a second? And Jared, if you guys and all, just family, Miss Bobby, just family. One, if you don't want to, if you feel uncomfortable, that's fine. But I think this is what we should do. God says that we should do things like this. We should pray. We should lay hands on people and pray for them. This isn't only, a lot of times we think about it in a physical sense, like if they got cancer, let's pray for them so their cancer will be healed. But life is like a cancer sometimes, isn't it? It's just painful. It hurts. It's like, God, I can't take any more of this. God, I don't want to take any more of this. God, where are you? It starts creating those kind of things. God is a God of healing. God is a God of making you whole. He never said that He wouldn't take us through some difficult circumstances. But He says, I won't drop you, and I'll never forsake you. And that right now seems a little bit small. But if God promises it, We're going to believe it, and we're going to trust it. So what I'd love for you guys to do, if you can just as close as you can get to the front, we're going to, y'all going to figuratively look like y'all laying hands on them. But if you guys can come and we want to just lay our hands on these people and we're going to pray. I'll pray. I'm not going to ask you to pray because already the introverts are going like, oh my gosh, where is this going? I'll pray. We just want you to join in and be in unity with us. So if y'all just come forward, after this, I'll let you leave and go eat lunch. The longer it takes, the longer you're going to be here. And if I will, if I can, Trey, you and Jeremy, if I'm going to pray first. Jeremy, if you'll just end up just as God leads, and let's pray for these families and ask God for his direction and wisdom. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And God, we trust you. We trust you to do and say and or do and be everything, God, that you say you are. And God, without doubt in our hearts, I just want to ask you to take care of these families. God, you know the details, you know the situation, you know everything that needs to be changed. So God, I pray this. I pray in the name of Jesus that everything that needs to be healed at this moment be healed. God, everything that needs to be broken, may you break it. God, may everything that needs to be changed, will you just change it? God, I pray for just your peace and your presence. God, I pray for your strength. God, I pray that these folks will be able to anchor in and face life in the confidence of Christ. God, that they'll trust you in it. God, I pray that they begin to see results and action. Father, ultimately, we pray for your will and your plan. Because after all, that is perfect. And we have no doubt about that. So, Father, while the journey is lasting and the valley is what we're having to walk through, God, just let us feel your presence in abundance. Walk with us, encourage us. God, may we hear you as you speak into our ears, into our hearts. Father, we'll trust what you're telling us, that this journey one day will come up out of the valley and it will reach a mountaintop. And to you will be all the glory. So, Father, we just lift this up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. I guess I'm not going to sing a song, but Trey and them may sing a song. So if y'all want to have a seat, that would be awesome. Thank y'all so much.